Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, and good evening. This is Live on Air. You're listening to the broadcast from Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications. And this just happens to be the Pastor J. Rouse Show. If you happen to be just kind of listening in because you were just clicking on Facebook or you're on Twitter and you were like, oh, what's this? Well, I hate to disappoint you, but yes, I am Pastor J. Rouse, and you are stuck with me and some special guests and some hot topics this evening, and you're definitely going to have a good time. You're truly going to be blessed, and we're always blessed when you tune in with us. I hope you've all had a wonderful day, and I've had a I've had a very, very good day. I have to give a shout out to my cousin Dex in Barbados because he had a little girl tonight at this morning, and yep, they gave me a call early in the morning. And so our family is just so excited because there's a new little person attached to our family. So I have to give a shout out to him and to the mama, to the baby. I don't want to give out any names. I don't want to give out any information because he hasn't been posting pictures yet. I would have posted one. And I also have to give a shout out to the grandma and the grandpa. Praise the Lord. And I have to give a shout out to all of my wonderful, loving family in Barbados. I'm so hoping I can come soon because I've got to see this little bundle of joy and see her while she's still really tiny, so I can still hold her in my little hands, and she's not going to be too heavy, and she'll be able to not get away from me, and everybody be passing her around like she's the best thing since sliced bread. Amen. Praise God. But let's get things moving. We know we've got some really interesting hot topics tonight and some funny ones, and we have a funny man joining us tonight to share what it means to be a man of God and to have to be in a funny world because, I don't know, some people have this thought that Christians aren't funny and not exciting and we have no sense of humor. Well, they've just met the wrong Christians because the ones that I know are just as silly and as goofy as I am, if not worse. I can name quite a few. Okay, but we're going to get things moving because we want to get things rolling with you guys. But to give a little bit of Caribbean flavor, just for my cousin and my new little cousin, this is Caribbean Praise by JD, and we're going to be right back, I promise.
Healer.
Amen. Praise God. I tell you, I have so much fun. It's funny because I should mention this. I was talking to another friend of mine the other day on the phone, and I had said last year around Caravana that everybody was out partying, and we as church folk, we need to get our own party on. Amen. And I spoke with Eddie Neblett, and he said, yeah, you tell me when, Pastor Jay, and I'm there. Well, I didn't get a chance. It's been a crazy busy year, as you all know. And so I'm going to definitely have to put it in works for next year. We have too many reggae, gospel, soca, gospel, and too many hip-hop, gospel people that we could put our own little jam together. So we need to start putting that together for next year's caravan. Amen. Praise God. Now, we're going to look to the Lord and do our birthdays because we've got a wonderful comedian coming on tonight. He's not coming on for comedy. He is a comedian, but he's an awesome, awesome man of God, phenomenal man of God, and he's got a good history of being on CTS and a couple other places. He's done quite a few shows, and we want to do a little bit of a twist in our show today because we're still continuing with our segment of Men of Honor and Mighty Men of God. But I wanted to take it from a perspective of somebody who still has to walk a very fine line because the comedy world can be so competitive and so very worldly. And it's kind of hard. And especially if you perform just for Christians or just you just do regular shows and they have this fine line between clean comedy and Christian comedy. I have my thoughts on that considering I host comedy shows. But we're going to get a chance to speak with this wonderful man of God and how he juggles that very fine line. Amen. And that's Dan Taylor from out in the west coast of Canada, and I can't wait to speak with him and share him with you. But before we look to the Lord in prayer to get our show kicked off properly, because you got to do all things in prayer, amen, this song had been going through my mind all day, but I didn't want to play the slow version. So this is a remix, and this is God's Grace, a remix by Trinity T357.
Anything you need, it's right here. All of the problems, yeah, somewhere. And when you're down, I'll be right there. You can call on me, God. I hear your prayer.
No other name can put joy where there is pain.
He'll do it for you, but first you gotta know.
that beautiful? That's a remix. Praise God. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you. We lift your name on high. Father God, we look to the heavens this evening, Father, for what not necessarily what is right in our lives, but more importantly, what is wrong. Father God, we look to you for all things. But Father, right now, we ask right now that the listeners would have ears to hear and a heart to love and a mind to think. Father God, I would ask that you use me to touch lives, to encourage people, Father God. And Father, we speak to those right now who are suffering in the name of Jesus, who may be ailing from sickness or illness or pain. Father, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Father God, we speak to those who are sad and sorrowful or mourning or grieving. Father God, in the name of Jesus, you said you would send a comforter. Send your Holy Spirit now. Touch them. Send love. Send hugs. Send all the healing powers to restore and give them joy. Give them strength. Encourage them. Lift them in the name of Jesus. Father God, we ask that you would bless the guest this evening, Father God, that you would touch him and continue to make a way out of nowhere. Father God, to open doors that no man can close. Father God, we ask a blessing upon his family, his friends, his neighbors. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask right now that you continue to be with us, be ever present. Father, we speak joy, laughter, and love into each and every one of the listeners' ears and into their lives, Father God. We ask you to strengthen them and encourage them too. But right now, Father God, we ask that you come and take over your show. I am but a name and a servant. We lift it up now and look for it to be done, because we all agreed as we asked it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I just hope you've all had a wonderful week. If not, well, just think. Today is one day you'll get to rest, and tomorrow is a whole new beginning. Amen. You need to just take up that joy and walk with it. Walk in that anointing that God has given you so that you can hold your head high and know who you are. Amen. You need to know that God has appointed you for a purpose and you're on a mission. Point blank. Don't let the devil steal your joy, and don't let anyone else take it either, because he'll use whoever he can. Joy. It was a gift that you got, and you received it from the Lord. You need to hold on tightly, because somebody else surely could use it. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Now, just in case you want to reach us, remember, we are on Facebook. Just look up Rose Ministries Broadcasting and Communications. Pastor Jay Rouse is also on Facebook, too. Feel free to check us out, join, like, whatever you want to do. Share. It's all good. We always have exciting things happening. We also have our international events and happenings, so don't forget to check out the page. We have lots of things taking place this weekend, as well as Mother's Day is coming up soon. So you want to make sure you check it out. We're going to get a chance to touch base and share some of the international events happening around the world that we have had the opportunity to share with you, and we have some more updates. And you also want to stay with us, because after we speak with the wonderful Dan Taylor, we have to continue to close out our segment on men. That's right. I feel so sad because we're losing the men, praise God. But we still have lots more in the wings for us. Even though they were the center and focus of our show for the entire month, you know what? They deserve a round of applause. I am so glad. It has just been an amazing time. We've had two different panels. We've had the wonderful Men of God's Heart who came on here all 7 of them, and I mean even some were giggly, but we had all 7 of them. We had some amazing performers, gentlemen, men of God, just awesome, awesome month. And so we're going to close out, and next month our focus, yes, we have to focus a little bit more on the ladies, because it's Mother's Day month, and we don't want to make them feel bad because we fuss so much on the ladies. Praise God. But we have so many new things. So what our focus will be will not just be mothers and women, but we're focusing on the family. And with that, we have so many wonderful guests coming in. We've got amazing new choir directors. I mean mass choir directors. I don't mean like a little tiny church choir. Mass choir directors coming on the show. Very well-known man. We have new gospel groups coming on, amazing gospel groups. I can't wait to share some of their music. And we even have a special guest who is also going to be releasing a new song, part of another segment of her CDs that she's going to be coming out with soon. And it was a phenomenal song that I used during the Holy Week, and I can't wait to speak with her. She's going to be joining us this month as well, and so much more. And yes, we always have our right on point hot topics, and we have some of that to deal with today. So stay with us. But in the meantime, if you've had a birthday from last week to this week, you know how we do. We get excited. We definitely want to say happy, happy, happy birthday. We have to give a special shout out to Cheryl Weber. Her birthday is today. Now, Cheryl Weber, I don't know if you know who she is. You'd know her from the show Crossroads. And she does amazing documentary. And we actually covered a movie when we did Cheryl Nemhard's movie, and they both had something to do with sons. And it was so ironic. And they were both Cheryls. It was ironic. But she did an amazing documentary, and we covered it in the summer. Well, I don't know if it was summer. It was close to the end of the summer. And so we want to wish her a very happy birthday. We want to wish everyone else who's been celebrating birthdays. I saw somebody else, they were like 109, praise God. I hope I look good at 109. But some of these people, when they look 109, they look like they're like 70. I don't know how they do it. But I'm going to have to talk to one of these people and find out what their secret is so I can look this good when I get older too. Amen. Praise God. And so we also want to say happy anniversary to all those who are celebrating an anniversary. We want to say congratulations for the college and university students who are graduating. We got some more people graduating with honors, and we saw someone else getting a receiving an award today, praise God. So we feel so proud that all of you are doing so well. And of course, the baby shout out. Well, we got to say congratulations to everybody who might have had a new baby or a new promotion. And definitely we have to say to Dex, congratulations for his little girl. Amen. I can't give out information, so, but I'm excited. But we're so excited. Everything that's good to you makes us happy. And if we're happy, well, could you imagine how much more pleased the Lord is? But this is for you. Amen. And again, a very, very, very happy, blessed birthday to you all. Congratulations. Way to go. Awesome job. And keep up the good work. Amen. And may the Lord continue to bless you as you continue to go forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one of the groups that we're going to be hearing from during our month of May is going to be the phenomenal group called 7 Years. And we did play some of their stuff during Holy Week, and it was awesome. And this is one particular song that we did play. And so we're going to play it now, and we're going to see if we can catch Brother Dan, because I believe he's at church. So we've got to pull him out of church, praise the Lord. But we're grateful that he is still wanted to join us. But for now, this is Because I Know by 7 Years.
I never knew life could be so hard, but there's not a prayer that God would have scarred, cause I know God loves me. Never let me out of his sight, cause I know God loves me so. My response is praise to God Most High, my Savior Jesus Christ. I raise my head and close my eyes and walk into the light. It's a gift to
7 years, and because I know, isn't that cool? These guys are going to be awesome. I can't wait till I get them on. Well, I have to call out to the West Coast, and first of all, Dan Taylor has already annoyed me because he keeps giving me a different time. He's trying to mess me up, people. So you need to pray for me because we're on two totally different time zones, and they think Canada is just north and small. We are quite large, praise God. But I'm going to turn on his microphone. Hopefully he hasn't hung up on me. Let me see.
I have not.
Dan? You have.
Hey,
you know,
how you doing?
You're too polite. You're too polite. That's your problem.
That is amongst my problems, is that I'm too polite.
It is. It's a good thing we're praying folk. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
So how are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's actually a really beautiful day here today. So we had a very long winter, and today it got over 20 for the first time. So it's very warm, very sunny, and I'm about to head into Bible study. It's at 7 p.m. my time, so 9 your time. So that's one of my favorite things to do. So today's a good day.
And he's out west, and now he's throwing his lovely weather in our face. We had a very dreary, rainy day here in Toronto. And I think Windsor had the same thing because I'm back and forth between those two cities, so you can imagine. But, yeah, it has been a very long winter. What's going on? Mother Nature, I think her and God must have had a divorce or something.
Yeah, we're being taught perseverance, I think is the plan. That, you know, with the weather, we will learn perseverance. Yeah, that's what I'm counting on anyway.
That's the hope, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I can imagine. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Taylor, you are a busy man. I'm just putting up a picture of you so everyone can see this very handsome man, Mr. Dan Taylor. I've got a list of amazing things that you've been up to. Give me a little bit of background about some of the things that you've done in the comedy world before we go into your Christian world.
Okay. Well, comedy, I'm trying to think. Well, I'm trying to think of what I've been doing recently. So I've just kind of finished doing a series of shows in central Alberta with a group called, and if you've got children in the car, cover up your ears maybe, but it's the Boob Tour, which is a fundraiser for breast cancer charities all over central Alberta. So that's kind of been, took up most of my April. And I also teach a comedy program at a youth drop-in center in the basement of my church. And we just had their show a couple of weeks ago. So we take mostly junior high kids, and we basically take them through about a two-month comedy program, and then we end it with a big show with pro comics and also the kids on doing their first shows. So that's pretty much a blast for me to do. And, yeah, then just a lot of writing and trying to get out there and do the work, right? That's the point, I think.
Yeah, but you see, you're still very humble. See, this is where you get Christian comedians and just regular comedians, because most comedians would have given a more obvious list. So I'm going to put him out there. I've got a list here. I've got Calgary's Fun Fest, the Edmonton Comedy Festival Young Guns. I like that one. That's cute. Montreal Comedy Nest, Edmonton's The Comic Strip, CTS. Everybody knows CTS. And it was the comedy tournament season, too. The Works Art Festival. And then you've done some other things because you do some speaking and teaching. Now, here's what I just found out that you just announced, and I was like, really? So you have a class that you teach at the church with children from the church, comedy?
Yeah. Well, they're not actually kids from my church. The basement of my church has we've got a, in the basement we have a, we kind of, hived off half of the basement of the church, and they and we partnered with Youth for Christ, and we'd opened a full-service drop-in center in there for the community. So it's kids from all over Northside Edmonton. So a lot of new Canadians, a lot of kids from group homes, a lot of kids from all over the place. And, yeah, so we kind of and a couple of kids from the church, too. So we do we work with them for about 2 months to teach this comedy program to them, just for to get the really basic kind of public speaking and confidence type stuff. A lot of these kids have never been told they're good at something. So if you get a kid who's been in a group home or is a pretty new Canadian and is even kind of new to English and all of a sudden everybody's laughing and enjoying what he has to say, hopefully that, that carries over into the rest of life as well, right? So.
Right. Isn't that something? So how does one teach somebody comedy? Or is it just, like you said, to just be able to I guess, get themselves out there and be a little bit more outgoing?
Yeah, we start with them. We start with, you can't teach funny. Somebody's either funny or they're not.
Yeah.
What we do teach is just the how to tell a story, how to structure it with a beginning and a middle and an end, how to organize it in such a way that, that people can understand where you're going and what you're trying to do and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's the you can teach those things, and then we do a little punch up. But the reality is, what we've experienced is that for the kids that are a part of this thing, they are already all in. They are they have all of the funniness that they need. It's just a matter of honing it into something that can people can make sense of on stage.
See, there you go, being all polite again. We hone it in. These are the ones that we call characters in school, and they were comedians. They were real jokers.
Well, it is true. We have long conversations with them about appropriate versus inappropriate, and there's things that are appropriate to do on stage that are inappropriate to do in a classroom. So hopefully we can teach a little bit and learn a bit. But it's a pretty exciting thing to do for me. It's one of the things that I really enjoy.
That is cool. So now you also do some speaking. What is a public speaking, and what do you usually address outside of being the comedian?
Well, I do preaching and teaching. I've done some camps. I've done some various youth type events, and generally that's when I put on my preaching hat, and I'm just straight up a Bible teacher and a preacher, and that's super fun to me. So kind of one of the things that I'm talking about, actually one thing that I'm working on is just this idea of being a spectacular failure. I don't know, the way that I've figured out what I'm good at in life is by failing at a lot of things. So I say we're all going to be failures. I think that's the nature of humanity, but I think that we can sharpen that by being a spectacular failure. So I think that that's something that I'm excited about. And I'm also working on it's interesting that you're talking about men. I'm working on a project directed specifically towards men. And you're a pastor, so you'll be familiar. You might be familiar with this story, but in 1 Samuel 23, we're talking about the life of David. The beginning of the second act of David's life. David goes off into the wilderness alone and rejected. He's an outlaw. Saul's out to kill him.
Right.
Everybody's out to kill him. He's on his own.
That's right.
And what the Bible says at the beginning of 1 Samuel 22 is that David went out, and his family and his brothers gathered around him, and everyone who was scared and everyone who was angry and everyone who was in debt went and gathered with him there, and there were about 400 men. But if you keep following the story of David, by the time you get to 2 Samuel 23, you've got the mighty men of David. So I kind of started asking this question, what happened to make these same men, these scared, angry, in-debt misfits, to come out on the other side and be these mighty people who worked for and saved the kingdom? So I've been working a lot on that idea and just trying to upset our current view of masculinity, which is also often wrong and is about, you know, money and violence and power and all that kind of stuff, which I don't think is what God had intended us for. So.
Right. You know what? Do you see God at work? Because remember what our theme was for the month, and you were picked to come on the show?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Men of honor,
I mean,
mighty men of God. Yes.
Yeah. Well, and it's something that we've been working on out here in Edmonton and just been working with some friends of mine and starting to talk about it, because it is something that God seems to be coalescing the resources of the kingdom for, if that's not too grand an idea. But I think that he's bringing together people who are working in a certain way to do something that he wants us to do. And I think that this is,
yeah,
like-minded people that he wants us to start working in this direction, and I think that that's a big part of it. And I think one of the things that I can bring to bear is just start to bring out some ideas in a comedic way. We can start to address some of the things that are just kind of wrong with us, like, why do I think that buying a new pair of Adidas is going to make me feel good about myself as a person? Like, when I actually say that out loud, it's pretty stupid, but I do things like that all the time, so...
Oh, no, but girls do that. Women do. Like, if we buy a brand new pair of shoes, we do feel better. We do feel better.
Oh, man.
Men versus women, because, yeah, like, your Adidas, as far as we're concerned, they probably all look the same, but no.
It's true. They probably already
do. I am telling you, it is like... It's like having a hot water bottle on a cold night. Yeah, it's a brand new pair of shoes. Maybe that's the problem. You guys don't feel any better because you get new Adidas. If you got pumps, it might make you feel better.
Maybe that's it. I should be getting more high heels. I don't know if my congregation would approve of me starting to wear heels, though. I think that I might have some splaining to do.
Well, I don't know about congregation, but I know about an empty church. They'd be lost.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I forgot. You're going to be one of those preachers who have a family and they're forced to stay. I forgot. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
They will become congregation.
Praise yeah,
God.
Exactly. Okay. Well, there will always be at least my three children and my wife and my congregation.
Well, see, and that's why you have lots of kids. Haven't you noticed back in the day, in the olden day, the preacher always had like a ton of kids? That's why.
Yeah.
So the
that's,
church,
yeah,
the church
I never thought of that. It's
yeah,
the same as it's true. It's the same. It's the same as farm families used to have a lot of kids to work the fields.
There you go. I just told someone that the other day. I said, why do you think we have children? You think it's because we love you? Look, God said to go and procreate, but at the same point, we realize that the more kids we have, the less work we have to do.
Yeah.
So now as a Christian comedian, because as you know, you're part of the group that I had set up, Christian Comedians Wanted, and after a while, I had to make some changes. And I still have hundreds of people who are waiting for me to approve them. And I know some people get frustrated, or I have to approve everything that happens or what you guys post. I have to approve it. And I don't like it, and I'm busy, and I don't have time. But I'm also realizing that a lot of people are signing on because they just see comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to make sure that I let them know, if you're not sure if you're – there's a difference. There's a difference between a Christian comedian and a clean comedian, and I think I said, and it's only one difference, and his name is Jesus. If you don't know him, then this isn't the group for you.
Yeah.
So how do regular Christian comedians function in the clean comedy world, so to speak?
Yeah, I don't – in all honesty, I don't – when I started doing comedy, I never intended to make it a career. When I started doing comedy, I was a social worker for a long time, and then I became a pastor full time, and then I realized really quickly it was easy to never be around anybody who didn't believe exactly what I believed. So I needed to get out there and just be around people who weren't thinking exactly the same way I was. And as a pastor, it's also really dangerous for me. I thought that I was often always the loudest voice in the room, in that, you know, a lot of people will just defer to me because I'm the pastor, and there's some good in that, but I also want some people who are going to push back against me a little bit. So I started doing comedy just because I saw it and I was like, I'm not very good with my hands or building things. And I'm like, this is a hobby that I could do and it's cheaper than golf. And I was kind of good at it right out the gate. And people started asking me to do it more often. So I always, it's interesting, I got asked to do comedy in secular venues, and through doing comedy in secular venues, I built up the respect to now be invited back into the church. That's been my experience with it. And I think that that might be an unusual pattern for some people, but that's the way it worked for me. And as far as clean comedy goes, I don't, like, there's some people that want to have clean be the very first thing said about their comedy, and I respect that, but I'd rather be funny first and have them remember the thing afterwards. Like, when you see Cosby, you never sit there going, like, this guy is so clean. You're just laughing your head off because he's the funniest person on the planet, you know? And so I'd rather go that. And I think it's actually, and I was actually, somebody was having a long discussion about this on Facebook today. I wonder if it's theologically incorrect, too, because once, I don't know that Jesus wants us to divide the world into things that are clean and things that are unclean anymore. You know, I think.
That's another show right there.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still developing that idea, so please don't hold me to it. I could be wrong. But I think the... yeah, but I think what is helpful for me is appropriate versus inappropriate. Now, there's some things that are degrading to women that are not honoring to God that are always inappropriate. But I think that there's other things that are you know, that are just appropriate versus inappropriate. So I'm very comfortable in a comedy club. It's tough because sometimes people want to come see me, and I'm like, I can't control anything else that you will hear, and you will hear horrible things. But I do, you know, I do like the times that, you know, I can talk to adults about adult things in a way that is God-honoring. You know, because if you do go to a comedy club, I'll talk about, you know, I have a loving relationship with my wife that includes all of the benefits that come with a loving relationship with one's wife, if you catch my drift. And and I talk about some of that on stage.
We come right out and say it on the show, so we do talk about the topic.
Oh, good. So I like to talk about that from the perspective of, like, having a God-honoring marriage on stage at a comedy club, because I'm the only person that's going to do it. And I'm the only person that they're going to hear say something like, maybe monogamy is a good idea, I don't need to find my satisfaction in all of those different ways. You know, I have a joke about how, I have a joke that I do about how a guy keeps trying to take my, I have a friend who keeps trying to take my man card for weird things, like driving a minivan, you know. He's like, you drive a minivan, I'm taking your man card. And I'm like, yeah, I drive a minivan. I have offspring, multiple offspring. This is how a grown-up transports them around. I didn't just get a girl pregnant, wait 9 months, get the kid's name tattooed on my neck and jet off to Fort McMurray because I got to make payments on my skidoo. You know, this is a grown-up thing to do.
Right. From boy to manhood, there you go.
Yeah.
So here's my question. As a person who finds humor in the world and mostly within yourself, because the one thing I've realized with Christian comedy, you have to walk a very fine line on who you cut up, like who you put in your jokes, who becomes the brunt of your jokes.
Yeah,
because I find Christian comedians tend to work more on their own family as opposed to insulting other people, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, I my first victim is generally myself, because I have to look in the mirror every day, and I think I'm kind of ridiculous. And when I actually think about, I'm not saying that to insult myself. I'm just saying that, like, I think that all of us are kind of ridiculous, and I think that the way that I get, you know, some of my mental health issues out and some of my, you know, angst out and some of the things that God is working on in me out is just by identifying them on stage and laughing about them, you know, that, and it's a way of doing that. So my first thing is always to go after myself. An audience is kind of like that, because it's a way of, if I'm poking fun at myself about, you know, about my, you know, going through drive-thrus too much and how that's, you know, if I'm in the drive-thru, it's not because I'm hungry, it's because I don't know what to do with my feelings. You know, I'm poking fun at me.
Right.
You know, but people recognize something about themselves in that statement, you know.
Right. I hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No. Finish off.
Oh yeah, I was just gonna say. I think one of the ways that comedy works at best is when we're swinging up. You know, like when we're fighting the powers and the things that are pushing us down. And I think I want to do that with my comedy as well. Like I want to swing against the things that have power over us that shouldn't. I believe we have an enemy that's working against us actively. So if I can point out his lies with some humor, then I'm okay with that.
And you have to. What is the traditional saying? If you can't laugh, you'll cry.
Yeah.
I think, well, if God gave us joy, my theory is I used to stand at the front of the church and say, well, why am I the only one who's smiling?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that there's real truth in that, and I think that the idea of, I think that people who have experienced the most pain often can laugh the loudest and the deepest because they know the difference. And
right.
I think it's often only that when we confront the monsters in the closet or the pain that we have inside us that we can give that to other people. You know, I've started to talk a little bit lately in my comedy about mental health issues. I suffered from depression. I'm okay. I'm on meds, you know, and I'm good, you know. And that's not something that God has freed me. I could be healed from that, but as of right now, I'm not. And my wife thinks I'm a much easier person to live with if I'm on medication.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, you know, I do have the joy of the Lord, and I have a chemical imbalance in my brain that I have to fight against. And it's a way that the enemy uses to speak lies to my life if I don't oppose it. And one of the ways that I do is just by making it absolutely ridiculous, because my you know, my brain will tell me foolish things, you know, that like you should have these two double quarter pounders with cheese. Those will make you happy inside.
It's the shoe thing again. It's the shoe thing again. I'm telling you.
Well, I think that's our biggest battle is to. I think my biggest battle. Maybe I shouldn't do this for you. My biggest battle is to find satisfaction in Christ over all things,
and there's
an entire world that is pushing against me, saying no. Find satisfaction in something else. Find satisfaction in work. Find satisfaction in what you can buy. Find satisfaction in what other people think about you. And it's a constant battle for me, and I think for other people too. But to just constantly be reminded that, like, wait a minute, my joy is in the Lord. My trust is in the Lord. You know, these are the things that will bring me joy and comfort. You know, and that will last for eternity rather than, you know, being dust. So
I like that. So you said to find satisfaction in the Lord alone.
Yeah, I think that's a constant, you know, I'm strapping that battle up, strapping up and fighting that battle every day. So
I think we all are. We all are. And I think that's the thing, because we are in a world, and especially those in a world where we don't want for things. We have so much that it's very hard to please us or give us that satisfaction. Because you'll notice, if you're in a world where there's nothing but dirt around and you barely eat a meal a day, and you notice those are the people who usually praise God the hardest, and they're the happiest.
Well, and what's – they can't – if my experience with my friends in the developing world is they have to rely on God every day. And if God doesn't show up, they don't make it. And because that's so present for them, they can't believe the lie that they're going to make it on their own. And I think in North America, it's very easy for me to go through an entire day without consciously recognizing the fact that I need to rely on God. You know, I'm not grateful for the breath that I breathe and the fact that my heart is still beating and that my mind is still working and all of these things that I just take for granted and ignore, because God has blessed me so much to the point where I feel like I don't need him. And that's a very dangerous place to be. So.
Yeah, I like that. But then that was balance right there. And I think a lot of us have to find that, because then you don't want and desire for so many things that whatever the Lord gives you, you're more, what is he said, to be content. And I think that would help, because we strive for so much.
Mm-hmm. No, that's, that's the battle.
I know you have to head off.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, finish what you were saying.
Oh, I was going to say, I think one of the ways that comedy can contribute to that is by... With humor, we can poke holes in a lot of the lies that that our culture is telling us, you know. And I think that at our best, we're doing that, you know. That's what. Sometimes I'm just talking about pandas. Let's be honest. But at my best, I feel like I'm poking holes in some of the lies of the culture around us.
Well, no, I remember laughter is healing.
Yes.
It is, and it does.
Absolutely.
And if you're hysterically laughing and it's uncontrollable, then you might want some different pills. But good laughter is good laughter, and so it's healthy, because then, and they even say that when people who laugh more live longer and things like this. I mean, it's unique, you know. So,
yeah.
But before you leave, I've got to ask you our topic, our poll question, okay?
Yep.
As a man, how would you feel if a woman bought you flowers or a plant?
Okay, so if it was just like a stranger, then I might be a little bit weirded out. Were my wife to buy me flowers, I would appreciate it, but I don't think I would. I would appreciate the effort that she had put into it, but I wouldn't appreciate, like, wow, these are a really beautiful thing and I love them. I would be like, thank you for getting me a thing.
A thing.
I might have been happier with a book.
Okay, but remember, a plant and flowers are different. So how would you feel about that?
Okay, a plant, yeah, you're right. I'm looking around my study, and I have no plants in here, and it's pretty sparse. So a plant might be appreciated. I could probably use something that reminds me that there's more to life than books and that there are living things.
Well, and here's the funny thing, because we always have that saying about don't wait until I'm gone to give me the flowers. Give them to me now so I can enjoy them.
Yeah.
But haven't you noticed when anyone's sick in the hospital, man, woman, or child, we always bring a plant.
Yeah, exactly. I think we
and
think that somehow that will...
You think he's near death.
Yeah, I think we think that, like, somehow the plants will make them not sick. I don't know how that works.
Yeah. Well, and it's true, because I guess we think of healing and growth and rejuvenation and, you know, all of that stuff. So we start putting nature to health, you know, and people bring plants to the hospital when people aren't well. And I've never seen a man go... Okay, like, that's so odd. Auntie Sue, she brought me a plant. Like, you know what I mean? No one ever complains about that.
True. There's a context for it. Yeah. That helps it be communicated.
Yeah, I guess it would look good, too, if you started freaking out. Are you serious? You brought me a plant? I'm here, and I'm sick, and you bring me a plant?
I might prefer a quarter pounder with cheese. That might be the thing to...
Oh, just use it too.
Yeah. I'm in the hospital. I should probably only eat one.
Yeah. Well, if anything's going to happen, you're in good hands already. There you go. But listen, my friend, I know we can't keep you. I would love to keep you for a while, but I know you have something you're doing tonight. What is that you're doing?
Pretty simple. I'm just leading a Bible study at my church, so nothing
pretty
too complicated.
Simple.
We're going through the book of Hebrews, so I'm pretty pumped. I love it.
Oh, did you? Okay, did you look on my wall? You have to go on Facebook
I did not.
And look on my wall, or this is one of our little hot topics for tonight, because I figure we got to address this thing with Donald Sterling. And there's this picture, and I said, I'm sorry, I had to post it. It was hilarious. And it's got a picture of Ramses from the movie, from the Exodus, and it's got Donald Sterling. And then the bottom half of the picture is the NBA logo, and it says, Donald Sterling's name shall be stricken from every book.
Oh, right.
So it is written, so it shall be done. And I was dying.
That is really funny.
I can even hear Yul Brynner's voice saying it and the drums rolling in the background while he's doing the declaration.
That was a really fascinating, such a fascinating story. And I mean, and I'm a big NBA fan because the Raptors are up in case anyone's excited about that, which I am, but
Toronto, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, but that story is so crazy right now. And I mean, they really should have done this 9 years ago when he was convicted of depriving housing to minorities, but I mean, doing the right thing late is still doing the right thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes we wait too long, but I noticed that they didn't hesitate. That he just went ahead and did it with authority, and that was so awesome. So, yeah, definitely awesome, awesome thing. Anyways,
absolutely,
and so you have to do your Bible study, and that's not a basic thing. It's a very big thing because to learn the Word of God is even better, and to teach the Word of God, well, that's an even bigger blessing. Amen?
Amen, amen. And thank you so much
any
for having me. I'd love to come. Shout out to James if he's listening. James McNeil if he's listening, you know, and invite me out to do the circuit next time you're doing it. And people can follow me on Twitter at Dan Taylor Talks. It's probably the easiest way to follow me. Just Google Dan Taylor Talks, and I've also got a book coming out in the fall called Scared, Angry, and in Debt. So that's going to be my focus for the fall.
Okay. Awesome. We'll have to have you back on. You know what it is? I have to get you guys. I tried to get James on a couple weeks ago for my panel, and these guys are fun. But I'm going to have to post some of the comedy show that we did back in June. We had an awesome time. I've got videos, pictures, everything. I just have to get it out there. But you'll be able to check out some of our stuff that we had. We had a blast. And we had an awesome time. But in the meantime, thank you so much, so much, so much for coming on and sharing.
And thanks for having me.
Hopefully. It was a joy.
Yeah, I'd love to talk to you again. So I got to go, but thank you so much, and thanks to all your listeners. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, then. God bless you.
Yeah, blessings on you too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Everyone, that was Dan Taylor out west in Canada, praise God, Christian comedian, giving us a different perspective on being a man of God as well as a Christian comedian as opposed to just a comedian or, well, a clean comedian. We'll be right back. This is Your Love by Livingston Pretorius from South Africa. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful, beautiful song? Praise God. I really love that. That was Livingston Pretorius with Your Love. And we just finished talking to the wonderful Daniel Taylor, who went off to do his duty for the Lord. And we had a lovely time, and we learned a few things. Amen. Praise God. But we still have lots more taking place, and he said that the raptures are up. I'm dying not knowing what's going on, but I may have to take a break in between my show just so actors are doing. Amen. Anybody watching the game or got the lowdown on the game, send me a message. You can find me on Facebook. Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications, or Pastor Jay Rouse on Facebook, or email me, rouseministriesbroadcasting@gmail.com, or pastorjrouse@gmail.com, and you can also hook us up on Twitter, Pastor Rouse Show. Again, that's Pastor Rouse Show. There's no J on Twitter, and Pastor Jay Rouse Show on gmail.com. Amen. Praise God. We have some more information that we are going to be dealing with, the marks of manhood. And that's just to kind of lead us out of our segue of our Men of Honor and Mighty Men of God season that we had for the month of April. And I've had a blast. Praise God. But in the meantime, this was the question that we had put out there about if you were a man, would you want, or how would you feel if your lady or significant other bought you flowers or a plant? And then we wanted to know from the women if they would ever buy their significant other or their husband or spouse flowers or a plant. So we got to ask that of Dan Taylor, and he at first thought it was a little odd. He said it would be very odd if it came from strangers. But then if his wife bought it, he would, you know, I think out of politeness, he wouldn't want to upset her because he knew it was, they say it's the thought that counts. And I think that's where he was going, praise God. But we did come up with a good concept, because you notice when everybody's in the hospital, they bring everybody a plant. Amen. Plants can be pretty manly. We have one young lady who gave her thoughts. We had someone else say, no, I would never buy my boyfriend, husband, significant other, male, flowers or a plant, period. It's so not right to give a man stuff like that. We have another young lady from a group, Melina. We'll just call her Melina. I won't give out her last name. She said yes, but not flowers, maybe a plant if he liked that sort of thing. I thought it would be fun to plant something special together and watch it grow. Now, that's kind of romantic. Bless her heart. To watch it grow as the relationship grows. And you hear about people doing that. They might plant a tree, or, you know, as she's saying, if you got a garden, you put a plant that represents you guys. Now, that is kind of special. I like the way she did that. That was cool. Amen. That was cool. Anyways, we're going to listen to Awesome God by Alicia Ann Whitfield. And we're going to come right back, because we've got some more hot stuff that we want to talk about.
One.
Amen. Awesome God, that he truly is. And I just got the update on my rafters, praise God. And apparently it's $73.50 for the rafters. So let's hang in there. Amen. Praise God. All right. Now, here's the topic, the first topic, okay? The marks of manhood. Now, this is according to Albert Mohler. And he says, when does a boy become a man? Hint, it's not your age. Find out if you have what it takes to be a godly man, okay? So these are some of the things, and we're going to go through some of them so you can hear on your checklist, and we'll be sharing them with you as well online at Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications. All right. Now it says, when does a boy become a man? The answer to this must go far beyond biology and chronological age. So it's got nothing to your physical makeup or your actual numerical age. As defined in the Bible, manhood is a functional reality demonstrated in a man's fulfillment of responsibility and leadership. I like that. Okay, then it says, with this in mind, here are some suggested marks of biblical manhood, all right? And the achievement of these vital qualities marks the emergence of a man who will demonstrate true biblical masculinity. All right, number one, spiritual maturity, sufficient to lead a wife and children. My. The Bible is clear about a man's responsibility to exercise spiritual maturity and spiritual leadership. Of course, this spiritual maturity takes time to develop, and it's a gift of the Holy Spirit working within the life of the believer. The disciples of the Christian life, including prayer and serious Bible study, there's that Bible study again, are among the means God uses to mold a boy into a man and to bring spiritual maturity into the life of one who is charged to lead a wife and family. Okay, I'm not going to read all of that. Number two, personal maturity sufficient to be a responsible husband and father. All right, so you notice that there's a slight difference. One says to lead a wife and children, and now to be responsible for them. He didn't put those two together. He did them separately. All right, so true masculinity is not a matter of exhibiting supposedly masculine characteristics devoid of the context of responsibility. Now, it says in the Bible, a man is called to fulfill his role as husband and father. Unless granted the gift of celibacy for gospel service, the Christian boy is to aim for marriage and fatherhood. I like that one. This is assuredly a counter-cultural assertion, but the role of husband and father is central to manhood. All right, number three. economic maturity sufficient to hold an adult job and handle money. Well, advertisers and marketers know where to aim their messages, directly at adolescent boys and young men. This particular segment of the population is inordinately attracted to material goods, popular entertainment, sporting events, and other consumer options. The portrait of a young man going through his manhood made popular in the media and presented as normal through entertainment is characterized by economic carelessness, my, self-centeredness, and laziness. Says a real man knows how to hold a job, handle money with responsibility, and take care of the needs of his wife and family. A failure to develop economic maturity means that these young men often float from job to job and take years to find themselves in terms of career and vocation. My. Somebody just got a spanking. All right, number four. Physical maturity sufficient to work and protect a family. You notice how they all seem to kind of connect? I'm going to skip through some of this. It says, a man must be ready to put his physical strength on the line to protect his wife and children and fulfill his God-assigned task. A boy must be taught to channel his developing strength and emerging size into a self-consciousness of responsibility, recognizing that adult strength is to be combined with adult responsibility and true maturity. I like the word true. You notice they didn't just say add maturity, so they want to make sure it's true maturity. Big difference. All right, let's see. And number five, sexual maturity sufficient to marry and fulfill God's purpose. Isn't this something? It says, even as society celebrates sex in every form and at every age, the true Christian man practices sexual integrity, avoiding pornography, fornication, all forms of sexual promiscuity, and corruption. He understands the danger of lust, but rejoices in the sexual capacity and reproductive power God has put within him, committing himself to find a wife and to earn her love, trust, and admiration, and eventually to win her hand in marriage. Now, isn't that ironic? Because you notice it says God has put within him committing himself to find a wife. He's going to want to find the wife first. A lot of these guys, because they have so many, what's the thing about why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free kind of concept? And I think this is where we end up losing a lot of our young men, because the theory is, and why do I need to get married? And it says, and to earn her love. I love that. You got to earn her love. You can't just have her love. You've got to earn it. Amen. And trust. You got to earn trust as well, and they go together. And it says trust and admiration. Admiration. Now, that is a word we don't use very often, because I think a lot of us don't understand what it is to have someone to admire. To be admired means that you have to do something to earn that admiration. So you have to earn her love, her trust, and admiration, and eventually to win her hand in marriage. Amen. Let's find out what Dante has to say, because he says, be the man. Let's hear what he's got to say about this.
Thought I was living right. I prayed it fast from day to night. Anger seemed to pull me away. My flesh was weak. I had a spiritual leak. try to fix my problems on my own. I see the stress building, broke my home. Yes, it did. Can you forgive me? Help me be strong. Help be the man you want me to be. Can you love me unconditionally? I'll be the man you want me to be, 'cause I will. I will.
Be the man, be the man, be the man. Be the man, be the man, be the man.
God, I'll be what you want me to be. Yes, I will.
Be the man.
You see now, not just speaking words to be heard, but letting my heart speak to receive your word. You see, if I don't change, and sin I'll gain everlasting pain, everlasting pain. By faith I thank you in advance for giving me life, a second chance, a second chance. Can you forgive me? Help me be strong. I'll be the man you want me to be. Can you love? Unconditionally, I'll be the man you want me to be. Can you hold me and mold me? I'll be the man you want me to be. Can you anoint me and appoint me? I will be.
Yeah.
I will be the man, be the man, yes I will. Oh, call on me, yeah. I will be the man, the man, the man.
Well, he said he will be the man. Amen. Praise God. And he is the man. Praise God. We want to give a shout out to Dante and his wonderful family. All right. So we just went through the first five of manhood, according to Albert Moeller. And we posted them on our Rouse Ministries broadcasting and communications page. Amen. So you might want to check it out. Now, we're going to continue the countdown. I'm just posting it. Hang on. Give me a minute here. Woo-hoo. Okay. There we go. And one more posting, and then we're good to go. Now, remember, this is Albert Moeller. This is an article that he wrote back in 2009. And I thought it was really interesting. We'd love to hear from you if you have thoughts and opinions you like, you don't like, whatever the case may be. You can email us at rouseministriesbroadcasting@gmail.com or pastorjrouseshow@gmail.com or hook up on Twitter, Pastor Rouse Show. Amen. All right. So here are the next five. All right. Number six, moral maturity sufficient to lead as example of righteousness. Now it says here, stereotypical behavior on the part of young males is in the main marked by recklessness and worse, my word. As a boy grows into manhood, he must develop moral maturity. I like that. As he aspires to righteousness, learning to think like a Christian, act like a Christian, and show others how to do the same. The Christian man is to be an example to others, teaching by both precept and example. Amen. Number seven, ethical maturity sufficient to make responsible decisions. To be a man is to make decisions. One of the most fundamental tasks of leadership is decision making. The indecisiveness of so many contemporary males is evident in stunted manhood. So if you're not very good at making decisions, or you make all the wrong decisions, then I guess in a way it stunted your growth as a man. Amen. Number 8, worldview maturity sufficient to understand what is really important. It says an inversion of values marks our postmodern age, and the predicament of modern manhood is made all the more perplexing by the fact that many men lack the capability or capacity of consistent worldview thinking. For the Christian, this is a double tragic situation. My. For our Christian, discipleship must be demonstrated in the development of a Christian mind. I want to read the rest of that. It says, a Christian man must understand how to interpret and evaluate issues across the spectrum of politics, economics, morality, entertainment, education, and a seemingly endless list of other fields. They sound like they've got to be scholars, amen? The absence of consistent biblical worldview thinking is a key mark of spiritual immaturity. It says a boy must learn how to translate Christian truth into genuine Christian thinking. He must learn how to defend biblical truth before his peers and in the public square. And he must acquire the ability to extend Christian thinking based on biblical principles to every arena of life. My. I think if they could do that, it sounds like they're making scholars out of them, amen? But God has given us a gift of wisdom, so we need to be encouraged. Praise God. Number 9, relational maturity sufficient to understand and respect others. I like that. Psychologists now talk of emotional intelligence, or an EQ, as opposed to an IQ. It's a major factor in personal development. While the world has given much attention to IQ, EQ is just as important. Individuals who lack the ability to relate to others are destined to fail. Well, you will fall when you fail at some of life's most significant challenges and will not fulfill some of their most important responsibilities and roles. Amen. Number 10, social maturity sufficient to make a contribution to society. I like that one too. While the arena of the home is an essential and inescapable focus of man's responsibility, he is also called out of the home into the workplace and the larger world as a witness and as one who will make a contribution to the common good. Amen? All right. This is Jermaine Cowan, and he's got a new CD releasing. He's got a big CD release party coming up, actually. We're supposed to have him on the show soon as well to announce some of that information and share it with you guys. But this is Jermaine Cowan and Stay Strong. It sounds like the men need to.
Stay strong, my sister, never give up, no, don't stop holding on. Stay strong, my brother, love them even though they're wrong. Stay strong, my children, don't let hate overcome your heart. Stay strong, stay strong. See, I was just a poor boy in Spanish Town, Jamaica. I never would have knew, boy, until I met the Maker. He told me, my son, the careful what you say to my people, the people. Stay strong, oh, stay strong, my sister. Never give up, no doubt, stop holding on. Stay strong, my brother. Love them even though they're wrong. Stay strong, my children. Don't let hate overcome your heart. Stay strong. Stay strong.
On the block, on the corner, down the lane, and the cravings
are dying.
Politician and the crooked cops everywhere they're denying. More knowledge, more jobs, more life, the youth them crying. Said that no one they better must come. So stay strong. Stay strong, my sister. Never give up, no doubt. Stop holding on. Stay strong, my brother. Love them even though they're wrong. Stay strong, my children. Don't let hate overcome your heart. Stay strong. Stay strong. Forget the youth in trouble. That great devil. Don't look good to me. To see them using shovel. Bury each other. Lord, can you help me please? Stay strong. Stay strong. Stay strong. Stay strong. Stay strong. My sister, never give up, no doubt, stop holding on. Stay strong, my brother. Love them even though they're wrong. Stay strong, my children. Don't let hate overcome your heart. Stay strong. Stay strong. Stay strong. My sister, never give up, no doubt, stop holding on. Stay strong, my brother. Love them even though they're wrong. Stay strong, my children. Don't let hate overcome your heart. Stay strong. Stay strong.
No matter what the circumstances is, or the problem is, just keep your head up, yeah? One will admit. Focus on the positive side of life. Leave the negative aside, you know what I mean? And just let love override every doubt. Every failure. Put God first and just stay strong.
Amen. Okay, so now we've listed number 6 to number 10 of the next set of 5 of the marks of manhood according to Albert Mohler. I'm just looking for something here. And I'm not sure I'm going to find it, but we will. And then we want to wrap up the last 3 of what Albert Mohler believes is when a man, when a boy becomes a man. These are the marks, he believes, of manhood. Amen. And so you want to kind of just kind of follow along. Some I agree with. Some I think are a little dramatic, but hey, it's not mine. It's Mark. It's Albert Mohler's. Okay. Number 11, countdown, verbal maturity sufficient to communicate and articulate as a man. A man must be able to speak, to be understood, and to communicate in a way that will honor God and convey God's truth to others. Beyond the context of conversation, a boy must learn how to speak before larger groups, overcoming the natural intimidation and fear that comes from looking at a crowd, opening one's mouth, and projecting words. Okay, I'm going to read the rest of that because I think that's important. We've got to learn how to speak and speak properly and be understood and be able to communicate with people. And it doesn't just mean to talk, but to be able to listen as well. Amen. Though not all men will become public speakers, every man should have the ability to take his ground, frame his words, and make his case when truth is under fire and when belief and conviction must be translated into an argument. Number 12, character maturity sufficient to demonstrate courage under fire. The literature of manhood is replete with stories of courage, bravery, and audacity. At least That's the way it used to be. Now, with manhood both minimalized and marginalized by cultural elites, ideological subversion, and media confusion, my, we must recapture a commitment to courage that is translated into real-life challenges faced by the Christian man. They're trying to turn them into superheroes again, amen? And the last mark of manhood, according to Albert Mohler, biblical maturity sufficient to lead at some level in the church. A close look at many churches will reveal that a central problem is the lack of biblical maturity among the men in the congregation and a lack of biblical knowledge that leaves men ill-equipped and completely unprepared to exercise spiritual leadership. Boys must know their way around the biblical text and feel at home in the study of God's work. They must stand ready to take their place as leaders in the local church. Amen? All right. Train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are older, they shall not depart from it. Amen? Here we're going to listen to Reuben Stoddard, who ended up apologizing. And I think the one thing men have to learn to do, and some women too, is to learn how to say sorry.
It's like I missed a shot. It's like I dropped the ball.
Damn, I'm sorry.
It's like I'm on stage and I forgot the words.
Damn, I'm sorry.
It's like building a new house with no roof and no door.
Damn, I'm sorry.
It's like trying to propose and I ain't got the ring.
Oh, damn, I'm sorry.
But girl, I've apologized a million times before.
I've apologized a million times.
So here it comes again for all the wrong I've done.
Girl, get ready, baby.
Here's 1,000,001. Girl, this is my sorry for 2004. And I ain't gonna mess them no more this year. I'ma take this one chance and make it real clear. I'm sorry, and I'm sorry, sorry, in case I don't tell you. Tell you December, I'm sorry. It's like staying out night and way too much to drink.
Damn, I'm sorry.
It's like you change your hair and I don't say a thing.
Damn, I'm sorry.
It's like we're falling fast asleep with no kiss and before we hit.
Damn, I'm sorry.
And it's like I forgot your gift on 02-14-03.
Damn, I'm so sorry.
But girl, I've apologized a million times before.
I've apologized a million times.
So here it comes again for all the wrong I've done. Here's 1,000,001.
I don't wanna lose you.
Yeah, we could always get those apologies when we needed them. Life would be so much easier. Marriages would be still together. And I tell you, relationships would be a blessing. Amen. Praise God. All right, so that was the 13 marks of manhood. We've posted them on our page. We're going to share them out, but you want to check them out on Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications Facebook page. Amen. And see what we've got there. We do have a couple updates. Any managers, producers, engineers, publicists, managers, you name it, if you're in the music industry and you're in the record company or you do something or you're a DJ, we have set up a Facebook group for everybody to connect, to do like networking, to meet up, because I think it's long overdue. You guys should have met together a long time ago and need to support each other. Now, the group on Facebook is called Indie Christian / Gospel Artists, Musicians, Managers, and Producers Meetup. Okay? So you want to check it out and feel free to join, because we need you all to connect. Amen. Praise God. All right. We also have a couple things coming up. Other than the amazing guests that we have, don't forget to check out the Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications Facebook page for all the international happenings and events. They are on there. I will send them and reconnect and put them at the top so everybody can see. I'm looking at the update. Raptors, what did Elaine have here? Oh, Raptors. The fourth quarter is about to begin. Let's keep the momentum. Okay. Thank God for Facebook, because I've got to do my show. But at the same point, I want to know what's happening right here in my own city of Toronto. And my boys are playing. And speaking of which, Donald Sterling, we know he got a lifetime ban from the NBA. Lots of controversy. But you know what? We are all one in the spirit, and we all need to get along, and we all need to function. Amen? Praise God. But anyways, as I was saying, Pastor Jay Rouse, Bible Life Application Bible Study will be starting soon. It will be an occasional thing. We're going to have it online. It'll be live to air. You can listen in, check in, tune in whenever you'd like. And we will announce it in the next coming week when it will be starting, and so you can follow along. Amen. But we want to hear from you. We're still going to continue with our question. If you were a man, how would you feel if your significant other gave you flowers or a plant? And to the ladies, would you actually get a plant or flowers for your significant other, the man? Okay, we want to hear from you, all the details and information. Praise God. But in the meantime, I need to go. It's been a wonderful evening. We want to thank Dan Taylor again for such an awesome, awesome evening. Thank you for sharing with us, spending time with us, and more importantly, just even being the man of God that you are. Continue to keep yourself funny and encourage others. And I love this thing that he's actually teaching young people how to be Christian comedians and not just comedians. That is so, so cool. So we want to thank him once again. We want to thank you for joining us. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord continue to shine upon you and give you strength to get through. It may be Wednesday, but tomorrow's a whole new day. And guess what? We're only 2 days away from Friday, and well, Saturday. Come on now. I don't even have to tell you how great that day is. Amen? So have a glorious, glorious night. And God be with you till we meet again. Can't wait to connect with you next week. And in the meantime, we'll see you out with A Place in Heaven by the Soweto Gospel Choir. God bless you. Jesus loves you, and so do I.
Do I have that Thank you. Forever.